Okay, we're continuing in the Bavavi. We're on page Resh Tes Zion, bottom paragraph. We just begun chapter 21, about the first page in. And the Tzaddik has revealed to us a very important aspect of Ahava Shetluya Bedover, a love that depends on something else. We've already said that in order to have love that depends on something else, you have to realize that number one, what you have is nothing. You have no bias over anything. Number two, therefore, everything comes from Hashem. But now the next point is that there's two types of love that depends on something. One is, I love you for what you're giving me. And the second reason, I love you why you're giving me. Okay? Meaning to say, that, for example, we gave a mushel at the end of the class. If somebody is starving to death and you give them a drink, the person will love you for that. You saved their life. But it's not necessarily the person who did that for you. It wasn't because he loved you. He would do it just because it's the decent thing to do. But still, a love would come out of that because of the recognition of the big thing he did for him. But it doesn't come out of the fact that the person figures, oh boy, if that person did it, he must love me, and if he must love me, and therefore I love him. So that's the next level of love that depends on something. So there's the love that depends on what you give me, and there's the love that depends on why you give me. And that's a deeper kind of love that depends on something, where you're focusing more on the person as opposed to like what they're doing. In other words, there's the love that depends on what you're doing for me, and there's the love that depends on why you're doing for me. If it's what you're doing for, now they're both going to be dependent on things, and they both can stop, but it's a higher level, the love that depends on something. So if it's just for what you do for me, there isn't a lot of feelings generated to the person giving you the things as much as it's because I realize this person loves me, and therefore I love them, and it's more the them, and it's the focus on what their love to me. And obviously that will get you closer eventually to the love that doesn't depend on anything. Where are you going to make the jump from depending on something to something that doesn't depend on something? You've got to have the highest level of love that depends on something. So that's what we're working with over here. So we're continuing on the bottom of Resh Tes Zion. Nim Tzim Kei comes out. Sheshne Shnei Sugei Nesinos. There's two types of giving. Yeshne Nesina Hanovas Machmas Regesh Tivi Shol Ratzon L'Sayei L'Zulas. There's one kind of giving where there's a natural desire for some people who want to give. They like to give. That's all. It doesn't matter who they're giving to. They don't have to love the person. Lav dafkin toch ava klapov. It's not necessarily because they love the person. Either way, in spite of that, the receiver will still feel a feeling of love to the giver. Why? Kivin shesof kol sof hu hech yo sovanasal. Because at the end of the day, he saved his life. And he gave them. That's one kind. V'yesh nesina shesibes hanesina merosh hi ha'ava meruba shesh. Then there's a giving that the reason for the giving in the beginning is because the giver loves the recipient. So therefore, when the recipient receives under that circumstance, he feels the heart of the giver. And he also feels a love towards the person. Of this level, as King Shlomo says, "Kemayim haponim laponim, kein lev ha'adam ladam." Just like it is the face that looks into the water, and the face that it sees when it looks into the water, so it is the heart of a person to another person. When I look into the water, I see myself. Right? I see something I like. So it is when one heart is getting close to another heart. The heart is reflecting that which it senses is in the other heart. Right? If I see you, and if in what I see in you is love to me, then what you're going to see from me is love to you. Right? That's already a much more internal kind of love that still depends on something, but you feel much closer. So we got to tie this into the Rabbeinu Shalom, no? So Kishaba Eifo Adam Lavod Al Ahavas Hashem Atlui B'Tavar. Okay, we're working now on love that depends on something. All of Adas, a person needs to know. Kivade Masha Kodesh Baruch Hu knows Sein La'odam Einu Nover Rach Mirachamim Shemirachim La'odam Shaloh Yomos. So now you got to think. This is where the contemplation takes place. Hashem gives you a present. You got to start asking, why is Hashem giving me the present? Is He giving me the present because He has Rachmonis on me? He has mercy on me? He brought me into the world. So, of course, He has an obligation, a moral obligation to keep me alive. And I just shouldn't die. Right? So, okay, there will be a certain love in return, but it'll only be a love for what He does. But Yeshna Ava be'etzem she'kodesh baruch hu oyves and Yivroim v'chafetz leitiv imam. But with Hashem, it doesn't work that way. With Hashem, essentially, there's a love for all His creatures. And He wants to do good for them. V'im kein ikar avodaso eino lihismakeid b'ma'a shumakabel. So the main work for a Jew isn't so much to develop the concept of realizing what you're receiving. Ela besibas hanesina shel hanosein. But you have to work on the reason of the giver to the receiver. Lahargish es avas Hashem alav. To feel Hashem's love for you. Not what Hashem does for you, but why is He giving? Because He loves you, and to feel that love that there is for you. And consequently will arouse a real love that depends on something towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kloimer, meaning to say. It comes out there's two types of love that depends on something. Towards Hashem. Ava shabore oiv es ha'odam, v'ava shanivra oiv es boro. Rather, there's two, what he means is there's two ends to this love that depends on something. It's on two sides. The love that Hashem has for man, and the love that man has for Hashem. Ukeshaboha adam la'avod la'orer esavas Hashem ha'tzmunabo. So a person's working on arousing that love of Hashem that's buried deep inside the person. Hu lo'ovid la'hedja achelek zeh. He's not working directly on this, on his love. In other words, you try the every yitz in his neshama loves Hashem. Every neshama loves Hashem. So what are you trying to, what's the better place to work on? Work on, okay, I should love Hashem. I should love Hashem. I should love Hashem. Ela oev legalos esa ava shekadosh baruch hu mitzira oev. So you got to really work more on revealing the love that Hashem has towards you. Because once you can feel that Hashem loves you, then your love to Him will be automatic. You don't have to work on that. If you're working on trying to love somebody, just, you know, to love them, why? Well, for what they do, you know, it'll get a little bit, but then again, you're going to say, well, he just had Rachmanis on me. And, you know, you'll feel a little bit, but it's not going to be, like, unbelievable. But it's not nearly as much as when you feel that the other one loves you, then the love will come much easier. So once it's clear to you that Hashem loves you, memela, it's just going to come out. Tisar gam etzo ahava klapi baruch will be aroused within the person a love towards Hashem. Vayifin shel kamayim upon him, just like we said, as the face looks in the water, it sees its own face. So this is a very sophisticated analysis he's giving you here of how we're supposed to cultivate this love towards Hashem by realizing the love that He has for me. And this is not easy. This is not easy, as we will see. Okay, next subcategory. Hafnomas ha'echrech b'nesinas shalabari. Hafnoma is to internalize, from the word punim. Internalizing this recognition of Hashem's giving. Okay, so ketzed yachol adam lagia la'kor ve'ava kodesh baruch hu klapi baruch. How does a person come to recognize the love that Hashem has for us? So he's going to go, as usual, taking simple examples, but further analyzing these simple examples and taking the way we used the examples before and taking them one step deeper. Hanakuda Rishonahi Mashiskan Perkakaitim. The first point is what we mentioned in the chapter before. Hakara Shakol Mashiesh Adam Makabal Makadosh Baruch Hu. First you gotta go back to that understanding that everything you get comes from Hashem. This recognition has to be internalized well in the heart of a person. So how do we internalize it, internalize this recognition? So let's give examples to make these real. Person is sitting in his house by his chair, by his table. He reflects, he contemplates. Again, it's always contemplation. Without contemplation, you're not going to get anywhere. He contemplates about the table, Helmet Liyadu, that's right in front of him. You begin to speak to HaKadosh Baruch over a table. Next page. You can do this right now. Reishut Ches. Rabbeinu Shalaylu, Mehechan Yesi Shulchan. Hashem, where did this table come from? Now, you're already beyond the point to think it came from you. That you spent $50 on this table. Because you already know that Hashem made the table, Hashem made your $50, Hashem gave you the koyach to do all that. That's already, you know, that's the lower levels. We're not even dealing with love. Okay, because you already know, Mimcha, it came from you. Fine. Now comes the question, Lama nasati li asa shulchan, why did you give me the table? Was it because you had nothing to do with that table in heaven? It was a clearance sale. You decide to throw it into the garbage. And I'm like the garbage can. You had a table, you gotta get rid of it, sell off. You know, just it's a closeout. And you had to get rid of the closeout. Okay, so, you know, here it is. You got too much material. Okay, we'll give him one, and I'm the garbage can. Borah Poshet Shlo, that's for sure not. Maybe you're giving it to me because you owe me something. You owe me something. You paid back a debt. So you know I wanted a table, and you owed me, so you gave me to pay me back. That certainly can't be the main innermost reason, although it could be partially, if I'm a good Jew, I deserve to have certain things, but that's not the real reason. No. Hasiba pnimis rabbeinu shalaylam shenasat li shulchan himishim shata oyev ha'isiv ha'roitse shieli kal noach v'noyim v'uchalavoy oyeshev yishavadas. The reason that you gave me, rabbeinu shalaylam, this table, is because you love me and want things to be easy for me and pleasant for me, so that I should be able to serve you with yeshiva das, with tranquility, with ease of mind. Right? That's why you're giving me the table. You know, it's interesting. Someone was just telling me at the shiva house that Howard was asking, you know, can I not, you know, it's hard to not eat at a table. You know, the mourner has to sit very low. You can't sit at a dining room table sitting that low. So he says, yeah, but it's really hard to eat holding your plate and your fork in your hand. Right? Okay, so Rabbi Yaakov was there. He says, here. So he took there was an end table next to the couch. He says, here, take the end table. It's low. Put it there. You put it on the table there. But you hear the musug. Now that's an opportunity to appreciate a table. If there's no table, how do you eat? How enjoyable is it when you have to hold the plate of food? You know, when you're eating at a stand-up kiddush. Okay, you see, that's why Hashem doesn't want you eating at a stand-up kiddush. Because that's not a pleasant way to eat. It's not. Right? But if you didn't have a table, let's say you sit on the floor. Okay, sitting on the floor. So now what do you do now? You're going to take the plate and hold the plate. And then with the other hand, with the fork. Now how are you going to cut the meat? So what are you going to do? You have to put it on the floor already. You're going to put your food on the floor, mamish. And cut it there, and then pick up the plate. And you know how much harder it would be without tables? And you know, the first person who came up with the idea of a table, like, why should he have thought of it? You know, dogs haven't thought of it yet. Monkeys haven't thought of it yet. They seem to do everything while they're standing or whatever. You know, would you like to go over to your food like a doggy on all fours and just put your mouth right into the food like that? I know there are people who do that, but to realize that, you know, you want it to be easy for me. You want it to be easy for me. Now, by the way, what makes this difficult is because wait a minute, you're going to ask, but the goyim also have tables.
God loves the goyim too.
God doesn't love the goyim. Let's get this straight. He does not love the goyim. And that's not how he gives to goyim. He doesn't give to goyim. He gives to the goy like this. He says, I love yidden. Remember, God always remember, God treats goyim as his constituency. So he's a benevolent king. A benevolent king wants to take care of his constituency. You know, but he doesn't love them. The king loves his children. Let's get this straight. The king loves it. The king feels responsible. So he feels sorry, has rachmonis on the goyim. They're here ready. I have to take care of them. And I will be responsible to take care of them. It's like, you know, Lahavdil, like Ted Rogers, who just passed away. And they were saying all kinds of hespedim on Ted Rogers, that although he was a wealthy guy, he was a nice guy, he was a normal, he cared about the workers. But I don't think Ted Rogers loved the workers. He treated them nicely, paid them well, like was a nice guy, I guess. I don't know, that's what they said. I don't know if I should believe it. But they all said he was a friendly guy, but nobody thought for a minute he loved them. And when he died, who was around him? His family, not his workers. Right? So Hashem, I brought you into the world and I'm going to take care of you and don't worry, just listen. But our relationship is I'm the king and you're my constituent. And I'm a benevolent king, so I'll be nice to you. But it's not that I love you.
But if you're a righteous gentleman,
even that, it's not, Hashem doesn't love them. There's not this connection. There's not this real connection. He'll reward it. You know, does Harper love anybody in this country? He doesn't love anybody. You know, if you pay your taxes, you're a nice guy. Okay, he'll give you some social insurance when you get older. Give old age pension. You're a nice guy, give an old age pension. You did a good thing. Okay. So what happens? He loves us. He loves his children. And therefore, he loves his children. And therefore, he decided there should be tables for us. Numa Mela, once he's making a shipment, he's not going to ship just a couple million. So once there's tables in the world, the goy mochap, there's tables. So maybe I gotta give them two. It's part of a general shipment. You can send a general shipment. Okay, 50 million tables. Send it down to the earth, you know. But for the yid, it has your address. It has, for this yid, 452 Springgate, direct delivery. Because I want him to know how much I love him. The guy, you know, he gets it, they call it, the giving is meacharai. It's like backhanded. It's a backhanded giving, right? But with the Jew, it's a direct delivery. So Mamela, he's deciding to make tables for Yidden and every Jew. It's like, lahavdol. It's like, chas v'shalom lahavdol, like the Christmas idea. Like Santa's going right out down your chimney, you know, filling in your stocking, lahavdol. You know, but there's a certain appeal because it makes the kid think that Santa loves him. Santa, of all, he's got so much to do. His mama, she's going to come down my chimney and give to me. So halavai, we should think Hashem is like Santa would not be so bad. Halavai, we don't even think Hashem's like Santa. Yeah, you know, I do it myself. Hashem doesn't do anything for me. So to believe that Hashem has a direct address what He's giving you. So it's a little bit hard when you see most of the world is getting just like you. So why should you think that Hashem loves me? Got to realize that it's all because of you. If it wasn't because He loved you and He wanted to give you tables and chairs, the goyim wouldn't have any tables and chairs. That's what, yes, sir.
So I find that, I mean, you've been using that name for years and years, even though it depends, it can be offensive. But what about the spoiled children? God has a lot of spoiled children that He gives a lot to. The ones who don't pay attention to Him, curse
them,
etc. Where do they fall? I'm talking, you know, the very secular and the ones who just basically spit on God.
So why is He doing that for them?
Yeah, why is He taking care of them so well?
You know? Why? There could be a number of reasons why. That's in Russia Vatovlo. Why the Russia has it good? Why does Russia have it good? There's a number of reasons why the Russia has it good. The primary reason is Hashem's paying him off in this world. He has to give him. It's not out of love mostly. It's out of payment. I owe him. He did a certain amount of mitzvahs. I got to pay him out. He doesn't believe in the world to come. I got to pay him out. He maybe had a Zaidi who was wonderful. It could be Hashem says maybe if I show them how much I love them, maybe they'll come back. I mean, he's showing them how much. I mean, if a Yid had half a brain on his head, he'd start to realize that Hashem loves me. So Hashem, before the Holocaust, he brings it good. Because why, you know, he said, why did you bring a Holocaust? Well, I was giving you all these gifts, and you didn't, that didn't work. So I gave you all the gifts. You're getting gifts all the time from me. Can't you realize it comes from me? If you would have contemplated a little, you'd realize how good I am to you.
Isn't doing that again now?
What? Yep.
Our generation?
Yep. Yep.
But he hasn't learned yet.
What? He's learned. He's learned. What do you want? Hashem, Hashem is nice. Hashem is nice. Hashem is nice, and people don't want to take advantage. So the secular Jew almost becomes like the goy in terms of the receiving. The secular Jew is choosing to live like a goy. Choosing to live like a goy. So Hashem's going to stop giving them? What would be the alternative? You're a bad Jew, I don't give you, right? And the Jew, good Jew gets, and there's no free will. There's got to be a little Hester Punim here. Hashem has to give it. So just like all the goyim get, even though they may not be good, so all the secular Jews are getting, even though they're not so good. And remember, it's coming to them. Here's the big difference. It's coming to them from the other side also. It's not a direct shipment. It's not a direct shipment either. And nothing really great's going to come out of it.
Why is it not a direct shipment?
Because they're not believing it's coming from him. So Hashem says, I don't have to give you a direct shipment. When you believe in me, you're going to get a direct shipment. You don't believe me, it doesn't come. You, all you people over here, you're getting direct shipments because every day you say to Hashem, Borech Oleinu, I want you to bless me. Every day you say Borech Oleinu three times a day. You should realize what you're saying. It's not saying God blesses the year. Borech Oleinu, I want you, Hashem, to bless me. I want to come from you. I want a direct shipment from you. I don't want an indirect shipment. I don't want it from the other side. Because if it comes from you, it's only going to be good. Well, the secular Jew doesn't say that. So Hashem doesn't give you it. You got to at least ask for the direct shipment. If you ask for it, Hashem is happy to give it to you. You're not asking for it. They don't get a direct shipment. And that's why nothing really good comes out of it, Larry. Remember, what do you need the chair? What do you need the table for? What do you need all that for? The only good of that is that, you know, you can eat in peace, so then you can start and learn in peace. Then that's a good table. What makes a table a good table? Because you want to eat like a mensch. You want to be able to get energized from the eating so you can go back and learning Torah. But a table where a Jew is serving treif, that's a bad table. You think God would give you a table like that, direct delivery? So you could do more averis with the table? No, that's an indirect delivery.
So, he does do that. I mean, he'll give people way more wealth than they need.
It's indirect. It's all indirect. It's all indirect. All right. Whatever. There's all kinds of reasons. But it's not, and it could, you know, it depends. Initially, Hashem is saying, okay, maybe I'll try to give you a direct delivery. I'll surprise you with a direct delivery. Everything's wonderful. You're going to maybe notice that it was me? No. Okay, that's it. Then now I'm just getting big indirect deliveries, you know. You know, in business, a guy's closing out and he's selling, his mom is desperate and you get a steal. You're going to be rich because he loves you. The guy's got to get rid of the stock. The guy's got to get rid of stock. So guess what? This Jew has stock from his Zaidi, from his Alta Zaidi. It's a lot of stock and a lot of reward coming to these children. Because you don't realize, the person was Meiser Nefesh to bring Yiddishkeit to America. That's a big mitzvah. And his children will benefit from it. Because God's got to get rid of some stock. So either you can get a direct delivery or it's going to be an indirect delivery. So it's got to get rid of a lot of stock, a lot of extra stock. And I have to, I promised him. So I got to give him the stock. So you get the stock, but you don't get me. You'll get me in the process. So that's why it's a little difficult. That's what I got to work on it to really believe it's coming from me. But if we think about it, we know that's true. Nimtza comes out, Rabbi Shalom Shem, May Hashulchan Hazeh. From this table, Hashem, I know and I feel that you love me. Because if you didn't love me, you wouldn't give me the table. Right? And again, there's never been a generation that has received so many gifts and so much love from Hashem like this generation. We take it for granted. And we're not misbinding. We don't think about it. That's the problem. That's why we're so unhappy. We're so unhappy because Hashem is throwing us love left, right, and center. We don't even realize the love He's giving us. And therefore, when something doesn't happen correctly, that's the only thing you remember. It's the only thing you notice. And you get upset at God. When there's so much to recognize, the love that he's giving to you, you ignore it. So it's a problem. Yeah?
Couldn't you argue, if you use the parent-child model, if you, so to speak, give all these things to your child, you would consider it spoiling. So why is it not spoiled from the God-man perspective?
Well, why is it not that Hashem is spoiling us? Because the truth of the matter is, I don't see every Yid is a millionaire. He gives us what we need.
But you've made several comments, for example.
He usually doesn't give us what.
Because
for this generation, we got to have it.
But we didn't start, we didn't grow up with it. I'm just saying, like, most of us in the room grew up without air conditioning.
I don't know if this is spoiling. You know, if you give someone a little more, it's still not spoiling. You know, it's not like, did you wake up today and found $1 million in your house? You know, it's like totally.
But you would agree with me that North American Jewry.
It has it better than any other kind. You know why? Because Hashem has to show us the love more. We're such idiots. Hashem has to give us a little bit more for us to appreciate the love.
Okay.
All right. But listen, before the times of Mashiach, it's going to come with love. It's going to come with love. It's not going to come with fear. So Hashem's doing his bit to love us, not overly love us, not beyond. I mean, let's put it this way. You know, if you won the lottery, that would be beyond. So he's not giving you beyond. He's giving us a little more. Giving us a little more, so maybe we'll notice the little more that he's giving us. But I still gotta put in, most of us still have to work hard. You know, if it was spoiling us, we wouldn't have to work hard.
It's true. No, but I'm just saying, even
And I'll tell you more than that. He's doing this so it can enable us to learn more.
Right.
So we can learn. All these inventions are really meant so we can learn more and learn quicker and learn easier. Because he wants us to be able to do that, right? So again, so Hashem, the fact of the matter is that people are generally not satisfied means that we're not spoiled. That we have to all work hard. I don't see anybody in this room here who's after davening is just going to relax. You know you're here because you know why you're here at this time, because you got to get out to work quick. You know, if you guys were going to work at 12, we'd be giving a class at 9, right? So it's not that easy. You ain't so spoiled. You gotta work hard. So she's making it a little easier. It's a little easier. But still, to make the buck, you gotta sweat, you still stress, all kinds of things. So it ain't that easy. And I definitely do not feel spoiled by Hashem. I'm thankful that he's given me what I need, and a loving parent gives you what you need. He's given me what I need, but not way beyond what I need. If you gave me way beyond what I need, I wouldn't have to get up this early. I wouldn't have to. So I still got to work hard. So that's okay. V'chein ba'oset sur misbonu gam alakiz eshu yoshevav. Think the same about the chair that you're sitting on. Rabbi Shalom, lama nasatli ki says, Hashem, why'd you give me a chair? Get oivisi, because you love me. V'ein charoitzi shet star b'kach she'eya muchach lama nukosvan. You don't want me to be in pain that I should stand all day. Stand all day or sit on the floor and get a backache. You know, and even so nice, there's orthopedic chairs now. There's orthopedic chairs, could even be comfortable. Right? Climber, meaning to say, Adam lokech od chayfetz v'od chayfetz nims, so keep looking at every object you have. We spoil on called prado prapa savlonas, and look at every detail with patience. Mipnei ma ha-kadosh baruch hu nasan lo, so why does Hashem give it to you? In the end, will always be the same answer. Right? Aval whom we spawn in, and you think and reflect and contemplate, and you say, if I wouldn't have a table, I'd have to keep holding my sperm in my hand. You know, it's like davening at Westmont if you're not by a table, just by a chair. You know, come on, how long can you hold that art scroll? It begins to get heavy. Right? I'd have to hold the plate in my hand. You love me, and you gave me a table. Every detail, and he says to Hashem at every detail, you gave me this thing, it's a sign that you love me. So, Reishis Ha'isfon is the beginning of this reflection, that is with your external acquisitions, such as bayis, shulchan, kisavod, a house, a table, a chair. Then go, after that, go a little deeper. Start thinking of the body parts that Hashem gave us. And then, go through every body part with a lot of patience. And as you go and you go deeper, then start looking at your talents. Whether it's in the realm of feeling, which is even more in depth. You know, for example, the fact that a person is capable of feeling affection for their child, that's a gift from Hashem. Because you see there are certain people who are very cold. And you should say, Hashem, you gave me a loving personality. You gave me a feeling that I love my child. And I get nachas from my child. I want to be with my child. I want to give to my child. And I want to show that feeling to my child. That's not automatic. There's a lot of people who are very cold, and you aren't that way. So that's something else we got to think about. You got to keep asking, why did he give it to me? Why did he give it to me? Not everybody has this talent. Why did Hashem give me that I can memorize things and others can't memorize things? How is it I'm good with directions? Whenever I have to go, I'm not worried. I never get lost. Well, my spouse gets lost all the time. You know, it's incredible. It's like some people, they keep calling you up. Like, I'm lost. I'm lost. And you have to, I know we gotta go south. Just keep going south. Eventually the street that I can make a left on and I'll get in there. Like that's a talent. You can see that's such a talent. A good sense of direction is a talent. There's people with a terrible sense of direction.
What should people that don't have these gifts say?
What? So they have other gifts. There's a reason why. Usually, you know, the reason you don't have all the gifts is so there'll be a good reason for you to realize how important it is to get married. that you're not meant to be a total package, and you need to have a spouse, and together you put it together. You know, usually it's one spouse has a good sense of direction, one doesn't. That's the way Hashem usually works it out. Works it out that way.
That's why the sense of direction. Talking about warm people, right? Some people are cold. How
are they
going to find a spouse?
So they marry a warm spouse. They marry a warm spouse, and it helps them become a warm person. That's what the whole life is about. You marry a spouse who has the other characteristics, and you learn from them, and they learn from you. It is a gift because then he gives you the spouse. He's giving you the spouse. That's the whole point, is for you to develop yourself and not think you're God. If he gave you everything, you'd think you were God. So he obviously has to give you certain limitations. Yeah, you can thank him for the limitations. Why did you give me this limitation? So I should appreciate my spouse and learn that I have to work on certain things, and it's not all given to me. You want me to earn a little bit of what I have. But at the end of the day, if you do what Hashem tells you to do, it'll all come. It'll all come, but you got to work hard for it. So that's why Hashem does. He loves me. Reisha tes v'chein yeshev perikzman ma'od memushach, and you should sit for long periods of time, drawn out yomim days, vashus and weeks. You spudim and akudusu really reflect on this idea of yedvaber kodesh baruch and tell Hashem the following: Rabbeinu shalaylam ani yodei she'ato evasi Hashem, I know you love me. Eich ani yodei, how do I know? And he says, well, Reg, I see this every moment in the day. From everything I see, clamoring to say, Alav lahargisha kadosh baruch hu nosen lo kol hazman. You have to realize that Hashem gave you every moment. He gave us every moment something to show that he loves us. Kachol shiyargish pachashu mekalim bari, to the degree that a person feels he gets less from Hashem, to the degree he minimizes what Hashem gives him, kach tiftach tifchas. So too will be minimized his feelings of love of Hashem. Anyone who feels that Hashem gives him more, and really Hashem gives you everything, so he will feel it deeply that Hashem really loves him. Over time, Tzricha nekuda zu lahatzif es lev ha'adam. Over time, this point should lahatzif, uplift the heart of a person. Should uplift a person. If you really feel that, if you feel that Hashem loves you, it will, you'll feel great. Ludugma, for example, going back to the table. Adam Yoshev liad ha'shulchan, a guy sitting at the table. Noikel yadayim, he's washing his hands. Umavarchem makes the bracha ma'itzi lechem in aretz. Ruling a lot about brachas throughout the day, right? So you're making the bracha ma'itzi lechem in aretz. Mavad etzema bracha. Besides the actual bracha, you have to do more than that. Okay, you took the bread. You said ma'itzi lechem in aretz. You took a bite. You ate your first kesayis. Now you pause, and now you're not done. Alav l'daber and kadosh baruch hu kilshona pratis bilshona pratis b'pashtus. Now you should speak to Hashem in your own words, very simply, and say something to the effect of, Rabbein Shalem, Nasati Lilechem, Hashem, you gave me bread. Ani margi shatoheve, see, I could tell that you love me. Ki Nasati Limanalecha, because you gave me what to eat. When was the last time you did that at a meal? You made the bracha. Now really, that's what the bracha is supposed to be doing. But, you know, that's not going to happen, because we say the brachas too fast. Even if we say the brachas, okay, you know, bless your king universe that you bring forth the food from the ground. No, no, Baruch Atah, no, we say yeah. Blessed are you. Yes. It's like, thank you, like God's here. Thank you for the piece of bread. Thank you for what you do for me. But now you got to take it the next step and say, I realize you love me that you gave it to me. We don't do that during the meal. We usually complain that the food isn't good enough. You know? That's usually what happens, you know, and you know, a mensch thanks the cook. You know, you thank the cook, and if the cook happens to your wife or your mother, you gotta thank him. You gotta realize, you know, think about it. Why did my wife make me dinner? So if you're clever, you'll figure out she did it because she loves you. Let's put it this way. Also, if she's clever, she does it because she loves you. And then if you're clever, you'll realize she did it because she loves you. A lot of us don't do it that way. We do it because I have to do it. It's expected. It's expected, so why should I love you doing what's expected? Right? There must be a lot of love coming out of a dinner between a husband and wife, but it doesn't always. Why? Because the wife says, oh, I've got to make dinner. I'm so stressed out. Okay, let's just order pizza. Okay, now I ordered pizza yesterday. Okay, we'll go to Joe Boo's. I did that the day before. Okay, I'll make something. Okay, I'll take some hamburger out and some chopped meat and make some meatballs. And meanwhile, you're on the phone schmoozing with your friend and doing seven other things. And it's like, just, you gotta do it. Because, you know, my husband comes home. If he doesn't have dinner, all hell breaks loose. So it's a good thing to do, right? Don't want the kids to complain. Isn't that? So how much love is in that dinner? And the husband senses ain't that much love in that dinner, right? So he just chows it down and, you know, it's just not there, right? I mean, gotta give the husband a chance. If he doesn't, if it wasn't made with love, how do you expect him to love you for it? Right? He thinks it's a backhanded dinner too. You know, it was a closeout. You had to get, dear, I had to get rid of the chopped meat, so you're it. You know, I bought too much chopped meat. It's gonna spoil. And you know, I was making for Shabbos and his little leftover scraps here. It's like a dog. You give a dog scraps. You know, it used to be that we knew the emes. We gave the dog the scraps. Now the dog gets a gourmet meal. He gets a gourmet meal. We love the dogs. You know, you understood. You give a dog a scrap, and that's what they're worth, a scrap. You know, you made food. You think you're going to waste money on a dog, right? You had a dinner. You want to throw out the stuff. Give it to the dog. That's passes for a dog. You're not supposed to have affection to the dog. You know, he's a constituent in your house, you know. Fido, right? Fido's on the farm, so what does a dog do that's helpful? He barks when the burglars come. Okay, so, you know, I give him scraps, and that's the relationship I should have with a dog. No, this dog gets momish, gets better than the husband gets. Gets a better meal than the husband gets. Because I Nebuch, he's so helpless, the little puppy. Because you made him so helpless. He would have been a lot more independent if you like kept him in the fields, right? But anyway, so the wife makes the dinner. So the husband, you know, and you could see when the dinner's made with love and when it's not made with love. You could tell. You could tell a 15-minute dinner as opposed to a big one. There's things there. It's how the table's set. It's how, you know, right? So now you expect the husband to love the wife from the dinner, but if the wife makes it, you know, that's the whole thing. You know, the Hasidic Rebbe's, you know, I forget which Rebbe it was. So the Rebbetzin was out of town or wasn't well, whatever. It's like, so the daughter or the daughter-in-law had to make the gefilte fish for Shabbos. He's the gefilte fish. He says, "Hotnishkantam." It has no taste. He says, "What do you mean? What do you mean? I was following the recipe. I got exactly the recipe. Hotnishkantam. It has no taste." She says, "What do you mean?" He says, "When you made it, did you say it was lekoved Shabbos kodesh when you were making it? When you were mixing the sugar and the fish meal, were you saying it's for the honor of the Shabbos or not?" So I forgot about that. That's why it has no taste. Say tzaddik. A tzaddik knows, even the gefilte fish. The tzaddik feels Hashem loves you when he eats the gefilte fish. We don't feel that. You know why? Because we don't make it that way. The Rebbetzin mamish, when the Rebbetzin would make a gefilte fish, how many tefillos would go into that gefilte fish? How much davening would go into that gefilte fish? Hashem, I love you so much. I love the Shabbos. I want the Shabbos to be beautiful, and I appreciate you gave us the food, and I have the wherewithal to make the gefilte fish. And a tzaddik mamish can taste the love in that gefilte fish. And if he does, we could too, if we would train ourselves. He contemplates. He doesn't just chow it down. He thinks about the food, right? So we're meant to develop love from that too. Certainly when a Kaddish Baruch Hu gives us food, you're eating the food and there's a lot to think about. You know, Rav Miller, go over the tapes on the Friday morning class that nobody goes to. Five people go. So, but how he says, how you're supposed to look at it, if you'd appreciate when you eat an orange and think about the orange and think about all the detail and all the pleasure that comes out of eating an orange. Right, you'll realize Hashem, you made the orange because you love me. Why'd you make so many different kinds of food? Right? Why didn't you just make cardboard pieces of scraps that you just eat? It has no taste, but it gives you nutrition. It's because you want me to know. You're showing me that you love me. You made a taste. This one has this taste. That has this taste. It's another taste. It's another amazing taste. You can only say this because I realize you love me. But to say it in a meal. Right, I feel that you love me. That's why you gave me what to eat. It's just a little bit more. Kesha'ara misragel lenusach shel bracha. See, the problem is, when you get used to a special text of a blessing, afal bishakol tomei bracha, you know, everything really is in the blessing. It's all in the blessing. The men of the great assembly knew exactly the words to put in that would get the whole message. But once you get used to it, aval hashigra mafkires hargeshorim, but the habit we fall into cause us to lose those feelings. So a person has to get used to bless Hashem from the depths of his soul. To express the true feelings that you feel. By Hashem giving us this piece of bread, it's revealed that the love that Hashem has for us when you eat that piece of bread. And there's no reason why you shouldn't feel that every single day. That feeling should surround a person from morning to night. For everything he does. Besides eating. You're sitting down, you're learning Torah. You say this in Shmoneh Esrei, in the last bracha Shmoneh Esrei, every day. You say, with the light of your countenance, meaning your goodwill, you gave us a living Torah. What do you think about when you're learning Torah? Well, it's interesting stuff. It's amusing. No. Why'd you give me a Torah, Hashem? Haim kedei espol, did you give me a Torah for me to suffer? Did you give me a Torah to weigh me down? That I should be unhappy with this hard Gemara and all these laws? Is that what you gave me? So I should suffer? No, that's not it. You really want to do good for me. There's nothing better than Torah in this world. It's so unfortunate how many Yidden don't realize this. So Yada Uchli Skarv Elech Yisbrach, that only through Torah can I come close to you. You know, you have to sit down and you have to think for a minute. You're learning this Sefer. The fact that you're here today learning this Sefer, and there's 10 million Jews who don't even know what the word Sefer means. And they're leading lives that are meaningless and worthless. And they're just distracting themselves with one mishigas to the next. And it's a yid just like you're a yid. And how lucky you were born in a house that taught you Torah, and the other yid wasn't born in a house that taught them Torah. Just stop and thank Hashem that you were living in Thornhill and you're not in India. You're not in a place where you didn't have parents to teach you. To thank Hashem that you became a Baal Tshuva while all your other friends didn't become Baal Tshuvas, or if you were born from birth, you were born in the frum part of Toronto and not in the secular part of Toronto. You know, you're born in a free country. You're born in a free country where you could learn Torah. You know, is there a better... That's like winning the lottery. Do you realize the lottery you won? Look at all those millions of Jews who were raised in secular families. They lost the lottery. You won the lottery. You had somehow a parent that wanted you to go to a day school, gave you epi something. You met a certain person who guided you in a certain way. That's winning the lottery. Without any question. V'hivdilonu min atovim, you say this, it's all of a sudden we say to Davni. You separate us from the people who are making mistakes. You gave us a Torah's MS, we have the truth. Every secular Jew is going with falseness and he's unhappy from the minute he gets up in the morning to the minute he goes to sleep. But he just distracts himself with every mishigas. And he's on antidepressant pills. And he's divorced. And his kids don't talk to him. And that's 90% of the world. And what do you have? You have Torah. You know the Emes. You should be jumping out of your seat. How lucky you are. How lucky you are. So they've got to contemplate on all these things. Okay, Mitzvah Shem will continue and try to learn a little bit more how to love HaKadosh Baruch.